Would you turn your Bible to Acts chapter 22? Acts chapter 22. I don't know about you, but I have done and said really, really dumb things. Have you ever done that? No, of course not. You guys are perfect. I'm not, of course. I wish that I could take them back and erase the people's memory and as well as my memory. Especially, it's worse when I realize that what I've done and what I've said did not glorify God. Somehow, it haunts me, and a guilty feeling and self-criticism is a far stronger and far deeper in my heart. The only comfort that I have is that our God is so gracious and so merciful. So if I just come to Him with a repentant heart, with a broken heart, and ask God to forgive me, guess what He does? He forgives. I want you to keep your finger in the Acts, go to Lamentation, chapter 3. This is a great verse to memorize, keep it in your heart, because if you're like me, you blow it sometimes. Chapter 3, verse 22, please. I learned that this is the theme verse for the ladies' women's retreat this year as well. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because His compassion fail not. They are new every morning. And here's one. Great is your faithfulness. Amen? Amen? From chapter 9 of the book of Acts, we find we've been following this aging apostle Paul since he came to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We went on the 3 missionary journey with him and learned a lot of truth from God through this godly man. When he came to Jerusalem, he ended up in the prison inside of the Roman barracks that was located in the Antonia Fortress in Jerusalem due to the murderous riot against him. This morning, we will see the Apostle Paul in his prison with a heavy heart and distress. He desperately need encouragement from somebody and the strength for his spirit. He did not know that he's about to have a visitor, very special visitor, that is. I believe that the same person will visit us and speak to us and teach us about his truth. Only thing that blocks us from hearing him is our closed heart. I want you to pay attention to him, to his voice, and pay attention to him, please. Let's stop and pray. Heavenly Father, we seek your word. We seek your voice. Father, it is our desire for you to know you, to hear from you. Father, we do not want to hear the man's voice. We do not hear the man's word, but your word. Father, we are asking you to speak to our heart and anoint our heart that we may understand your truth. And what to do when we are distressed, when we are discouraged, and most of all, when we think that you are far away. You haven't moved. We are the one who moved away from you. Father, speak to us. Father, we also pray for our President, President Obama. You speak to him so loud that he cannot ignore you. And let him turn to you and receive your Son as his Savior. And let him do the things what is right in your sight. We also pray for our troops and law enforcement personnel and firefighters. Father, protect them as they protect our lives. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 24 of chapter 22 in Book of Acts, please. We have a lot to read. The commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. By the way, there is no such a thing as a Miranda right during that time. So if they want to know the truth, beat him up and he will spill the guts. And that's the idea. Verse 25. And as they bound him with the thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" When a centurion heard that, he went and told his commander, saying, "Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." Commander answered, "With the large sum I obtained this citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was Roman and because he had bound him. From now until the end of the book of Acts, Paul is in Roman's custody. Him as a free man is over. As far as Book of Acts is concerned, he is no longer free man. He is under the Roman's custody as a prisoner. That does not mean that it's end of his ministry, end of witness, end of usefulness for God and his people. The Roman commander Claudius must have been shocked that this little troublemaker of the Jewish man who spoke Aramaic and Greek fluently. Actually, he was a Roman citizen. Paul was an extremely rare individual because he was intelligent and well-educated, and he was a devout Jew at the same time he was a Roman citizen. God was using this unique background to use Paul in a special way, even as he wants to use your unique background to use you in a special way for his glory. Let's continue in verse 30, please. The next day, because he wanted to know for certain why he was accused by the Jews, he released him from his bond and the commander's chief priest and all their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before men. Verse 1 of chapter 23. Then Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded those who stood by him to strike him on the mouth. By the way, this would be a very strong insult. Anyone who smack on the mouth, on the smack on the cheek in Jewish community, that is a pure insult. Verse 3, then the Paul said to him, "God will strike you, you whitewashed wall." Tell us how you feel, Paul. "For you sit to judge me according to the law, and do you command me to be struck contrary to the law?" And those who stood by said, "Do you revile God's high priest?" And Paul said, "I did not know, brethren, that he was a high priest. For it is written, 'You shall not speak evil of the ruler of your people.'" But when Paul perceived that one part was Sadducee and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, "Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee and a son of a Pharisee, and concerning the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am being judged." Then when he had said this, a dissension arose between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The assembly was divided. For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. That's why you call it Sadducee. And no angels or the spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Then there arose a loud outcry, and the scribes of the Pharisees' party arose and protested, saying, "We find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Now when there arose a great dissension, the commander, fearing the lest Paul might be pulled to pieces by them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them, bring him into the barracks. Throughout the book of Acts, Dr. Luke, rather, was author of this book. He refers to Sanhedrin as the simply council. 20-some years ago, Apostle Paul was part of this council. He was a member of this judicial council, which was made up of about 70 men, including high priest. He was the one presiding the meeting. They wrote the laws, and they made a judgment on according to their interpretation of the Mosaic laws. It was much like a current Supreme Court. The reason why I say that is because nowadays, even the Supreme Court, they interpret the Constitution of the United States and they come up with their own interpretation, and as if the Constitution is still alive and active. Even though it is, in a way, active, but it's something a person can change. It requires 2/3 of the Congress to change the Constitution, amend the Constitution. Not by one single judge can change it. There are two main factions that divide the council, the Sanhedrin, Pharisees and Sadducees. Pharisees are more legalistic people, and they are kind of upheld their oral tradition as highly as the Mosaic law. But they believed in the angels and the spirit and resurrection of the dead. However, the Sadducees, on the other hand, had no room for the oral traditions and rejecting the supernatural altogether, including the resurrection of the dead, and they don't believe in the hope. They don't believe in the angels. So they didn't have a hope of a resurrection that the Christians had. They were much like a modern-day liberal Christians, if you want to call them Christians. And you may say, well, why you say that liberal Christians are not Christians? Because they deny the core doctrine of Christianity, like the deity of Jesus Christ and inerrancy of the Scripture. You deny that, you have nothing. Are you with me on that? That's the reason why we recite and reminding ourselves the Word of God has absolute truth. Word of God has final authority, not you. It doesn't matter what kinds of interpretation you come up with. That doesn't mean anything. And you may say, well, that's not how I believe. I don't care how you believe. I don't care how I believe. If the Bible says it, that's the bottom line. You don't change it. And you may say, well, it's the 21st century. So, human nature hasn't changed. Still sinful. Still need God. Amen? One thing in common between the Pharisees and Sadducees, they both love their traditions and powers they have, much like politicians in Washington as well as all over. They love their power. They want to stay in their power. The day before Paul saw this great opportunity to go unfulfilled, when he talked to the Jewish people and tried to talk to them in the temple area, he was almost got killed. So now he has opportunity to speak this Sanhedrin, the most influential, the most powerful people in entire Israel. These are the spiritual fathers to the entire Israelis, not just in Israel, all over the world. And he had a chance to talk to them, so he could not come up with the better chance. So he was anxious to tell them about the Jesus Christ, perhaps giving them hope of resurrection and hope of salvation. But the process did not go well from the beginning, as well as that he was hoping so. The order to strike Paul by the high priest was completely illegal, because according to Jewish Mosaic law in Deuteronomy, you will find that you will not strike a prisoner unless that person is found guilty. At this point, Paul was not charged officially. In other words, he was not allowed to be stricken. By the way, this high priest Ananias, you should not confuse him with the high priest Annas that we learn in Acts chapter 4, verse 6. They are two different people. Ananias, this the one we are going to face, and Ananias, this guy is a really, really bad guy. He's so corrupt that he even took the money from the common priest for himself. In response to this illegal act and order, Paul lashed out in outburst of anger in verse 3. Now, question might rise, and you would say, didn't you say that Paul was a part of the Sanhedrin 20 years ago? That's right. When he was a part of the Sanhedrin, remember, the high priest was Annas. Remember I told you? And Annas was in charge. See, ever since until the Herod the Great came, the term of the high priest was a lifetime. Once he was appointed, until he kicked the bucket, he is a high priest. However, when Herod the Great came into the throne, he said, I don't care. I will appoint whomever I want to appoint. As a matter of fact, he appointed six different high priests in his kingship. Ever since then, every king started to appoint their own high priest. So when Paul was part of the Sanhedrin, high priest was Annas. This time, Ananias. It is no wonder Paul did not recognize Ananias. Besides, think about it. They all had the same robe, same turban, same beard. They all look alike, like Oriental people. Whatever the reason, the damage was done. In the heated moment, Paul has said the wrong thing to the wrong person. Not only that he's not going to get a fair trial, he will not have a chance to speak about Jesus Christ, his Savior, to these people. In other words, the situation become ugly real fast. And just to stay alive, Paul had to come up with something real quickly. So he's mentioned about the resurrection. He knew that that's going to divide the council. That's going to take the heat off from himself. Let's continue in verse 11. But the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of the good cheer, Paul. For you have testified for me in Jerusalem, so you must also bear witness at Rome. And when it was the day, some of the Jews band together and bound themselves under the oath, and saying that they would neither eat nor drink until they had killed Paul. Now there was more than 40 who had formed this conspiracy. They came to the chief priests and elders and said, we bound ourselves under the great oath that we will eat nothing until we have killed Paul. Now you therefore, together with the council, suggest the commander that he be brought down to you tomorrow as though you are going to make a further inquiry concerning him, that we are ready to kill him before he comes near. So when the Paul's sister's son heard their ambush, he went and entered the barracks and told Paul. I want you to pay attention to what we just read in verse 16. Then Paul called one of the centurions to him and said, take this young man to the commander, for he has something to tell. For he took him and brought him to the commander and said, Paul the prisoner called me to him and asked me to bring this young man to you. He has something to say to you. Then commander took him by the hand and went aside and asked privately, what is that you have to tell me? And he said that the Jews have agreed to ask that you bring the Paul down to the council tomorrow. as though they were going to inquire more fully about him. But do not yield to him, for more than 40 of them lie in wait for him, men who had bound themselves by an oath, that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. Now they are ready and waiting for that promise from you. So commander, let the young man depart and command him, tell no one that you have revealed this thing to me. Verse 23, and he called for the two centurions, saying, prepare 200 soldiers, 70 horsemen, and 200 spearmen to go to Caesarea at the third hour of the night, and provide a mount to set Paul on, and bring him safely to the Felix, the governor. Stop there, please. Back in prison, Paul was sitting alone, probably on his bed, and depressed, and he think about it. He had a perfect chance to bring the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the council people. But he completely blew it because of his anger and feeling that he let the Lord down because of his flesh. Can you feel his pain? In the moment of that anger, whatever the situation you were in, you said something, you've done something, and soon as it departs from your mouth, and you're thinking, oh Lord, what have I done? I've done that, because in my anger, I said something to one of my friends, and then I still remember. And I thought, what an idiot. Is that something I would do to my brother? That's what he did is a far worse, because he did not represent Jesus Christ properly. And he, Apostle Paul, and the other believers would feel that they often tormented with a deep sense of unworthiness and unusefulness before the Lord. Perhaps Paul thought that that was the end of the ministry, and maybe he thought that the Lord is going to stop using him. He thought it was all over. Guess what, Paul? You have a visitor in your prison cell. This visitor didn't even knock on the door. The Jesus' physical manifestation, the presence with Paul, is a unique manifestation. Jesus promised every believer to always be with him. And you may say, well, show me. I'm glad you asked. Go to the Matthew chapter 28, please. Matthew 28. In case you ever wonder if God is with you, here's your verse. Matthew 28, verse 20, please. I want you to note this, put it in your heart. Lo, I am what? With you. Time to time. Once in a blue moon. Right? No. Always. I am with you. Always. Even to the end of the age. Is that good enough promise for you? Rather than delivering Paul out of a prison cell miraculously, he'd done it before. This time, the Lord met him inside a prison cell. And he said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer means to take courage. You see, we often demand that Jesus deliver us out of a circumstance. Whatever the situation we are in, whether we put ourselves into it or somehow the Lord allowed us, we end up in that situation. When he wants to meet us, but he preferred to meet us in that situation. We sometimes think that we are surrendering to Jesus when we are really only demanding an escape. God wants to meet us in whatever we face at that moment. Hear me, please. The Lord assured Paul that his ministry was not over and it would continue to Rome. He's going to witness about Jesus in Rome. Now, how invigorated that he must have been. the timing of this promise is especially precious. It didn't look like Paul would get out of Jerusalem alive, much less make it to Rome. God not only knows what we need to hear, but when we need to hear. His timing is absolutely perfect. While Paul was sleeping soundly, there are the 40 men, Jewish men, banding together and making an oath that they will not eat or sleep or drink, until they kill Paul. They have this zeal, they have this commitment. Probably they were thinking they were some sort of invincible Jewish ninja. Listen, this man lacked nothing in commitment or zeal. But zeal and devotion by themselves never prove that someone is right with God. Are you with me on that? Because good examples are Mormons. They are sincere. Jehovah's Witness, they are sincere. And look at the people, like Islamic jihad fanatics. They are very, very sincere. They are willing to die for what they believe. That doesn't mean that they are right with God. Just because you think you are committed to God, that doesn't mean that you are right, unless you follow God. Think about this. How is it possible for Paul's nephew to overhear this ambush plan? I mean, they went to the Sanhedrin's council. Somehow he heard it. And then he went to the heavily guarded barracks, Roman barracks. I want to come in, talk to Paul. Yeah, sure, come on in. No problem. We don't need ID. And then he got to talk with Paul, and then Paul simply asked Centurion, would you take this young man to the commander so he can talk to commander? Really? Commander is not busy. He's just sitting and twiddling his thumb on his lazy chair. He had nothing to do except hearing this young man. And then when the young man told the commander, right away, this commander of the Roman garrison said, okay, now we are going to do something about it. You take 200 soldiers with 70 mounted horsemen and 200 spearmen. You take them all, 470 trained soldiers, take the Paul on the horse and take him to the Caesarea. Because he knew if he leave the Paul within the Jerusalem wall, there will be another attempt for the murder. Tell me that is not providential will of God. 400 trained soldiers, which was half of the Roman garrison of Antonia Fortress. They were escorting Paul out of the Jerusalem. It was as if God is wanting to show that he was exaggerating his faithfulness to Paul. See, I am going to take you all the way to Rome. You can count on my faithfulness. You can count on my protection. Sometimes we are thinking, God is not with me. And God says from heaven, really? That's how you feel? Let me show you. Can you picture this thing? 400 assassins, they're all dressed up like a ninja and all waiting on the roadside. Probably Paul will come by with a couple of Roman soldiers. We can all jump on him and kill all of them. Ah, okay, wait. I see a couple soldiers. Oh, 20, 40, 100. And there's a horseman. And there's a spearman. Oh, wow. And they're passing by. Probably Paul saw them and smiled at them and waved at them. You know how the queen waves doing this. And as they walk away, their footstep of Roman soldiers fading away, and they hear their empty stomach growling real loud. Uh-oh. I liked what St. Augustine said. He said, trust your past to the mercy of God, the present to His love.
and the future to His providence. That is so good. One application for all of us. The grace of God can overshadow any guilt within us. Amen? And the power of God's providence can overcome any plot against us. It does not matter. Greater that is in you is greater than the one in the world. All of us who struggle to keep calm under pressure and tired of waiting and feel hatred burning within, folks, God is with you. Your past is a past. If you ask God to forgive you, it is gone. Don't dwell on it. And God will take you through this trial, whatever you are going through. It's not more than you can handle, as He promised.